MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Laracha Lemola. She's a partner at Weber Wenzel. Laracha, appreciate the early morning time. Buy now, pay later. Consumers love it. Online retailers love it more. And of course, fintech loves it even still more. But it does fall into a regulatory void. Neither National Credit Regulator, the FSCA, no one's regulating this space, which is growing at leaps and bounds by all accounts.
Yeah, good morning to the listeners. You're quite right. For the because obviously it is a financial heaven because it provides an innovative way for consumers to pay. However, for our regulators, it's unclear whether this falls under the National Credit Act or whether it falls under our Financial Advisory and Intermediary Services Act.
Under the Credit Act, I would almost think it was a place to be. What would be the argument for falling under the latter?
Yeah, so the reason why it doesn't currently fall under our Credit Act is just the way that credit is defined under the Act. Mm-hmm. And the main attributes is we define credit as a deferral of an amount, mm-hmm. and interest or a fee is charged on that deferred amount. So how our buy now, pay later services are structured is, yes, it is a deferral of payment, but providers don't charge interest on it. Gotcha. So it doesn't fall deeply into this definition of credit as it sits under our current legislation.
And if it was falling under the National Credit Regulator and was credit, it would complicate the process because then, at the first level, you've got to do affordability checks. And currently, as I understand, those are not being done.
Yeah, really with digital percentage of our population who are digitally excluded. So yeah. We also just need to remember that as we add certain compliance requirements, we also don't want to create barriers to those who need access to innovative payment models. But also the same way in which they are digitally excluded, a lot of those consumers don't have a credit profile, which makes the affordability assessment process challenging.
I get your point. To be honest, I hadn't actually thought of that. There's also risks for consumers, I would imagine, though. If you're kind of lying outside of the regulatory environment, you're not under the credit regulator, you're not under the FSCA, that must, if things start to go wrong at some point, and to be clear, we're not saying that they have or that they necessarily will, but it kind of leaves you unprotected in many ways.
So I do want to say that right now, yes, there may not be regulatory recourses, but mm-hmm. there are contractual recourses for consumers. So I think right now where we find ourselves in this gray gap, the things that consumers can rely on is reading the contractual terms of these buy now, pay later services mm-hmm. and ensuring that because nothing's gone wrong yet, but yeah. if something were to go wrong, they know who exactly is liable in that instance.
Okay, good old-fashioned read the T's and C's. What about the Conduct of Financial Institutions Bill? And I don't have a lot of insight into what the process with this is, but is this something that would consider bringing it into the fold? Are there talks around perhaps somehow adjusting legislation to bring it under the National Credit Regulator?
Yeah, definitely. So the Conduct of Financial Institutions Bill is intended to regulate all entities who provide financial services, right? Mm-hmm. And what COFI, because we call it COFI in our circles, but what COFI intends to do is it will categorize certain activity. And if that activity falls within the scope of COFI, then there will be certain licensing requirements, governance requirements, as well as consumer protection requirements that anyone who falls under COFI will be required to comply with.
And COFI is going to work in conjunction or with the National Credit Regulator and the FSCA as it sits right now.
Yes. So based on the last version of the COFI bill, which we saw in 2020, I think that's the last public credits or activity around credits will fall under COFI. As to how the FSCA and the National Credit Regulator will delineate their enforcement powers, that's what we're hoping to see in the next version of COFI, to just get an understanding of how the regulators actually work together.
Gotcha. I understand that process. The GOFI is the bill, and then it gets determined as to which regulator gets which parts of it in a sense. We'll leave it there. Throttle Lumola, partner Webber Wentzel, appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.